Samir Amin.
Yes, thank you. Well, my question is, with due respect to the enormous work that the witness has gathered and which is of importance for knowing more factual knowledge, about who is behind NAC, my question is still a little provocative. I think that there is some danger of focusing too much on the special, even if important, relation between the PNAC and the other think tanks which are producing the U.S. ideology and political strategy, to focus too much on the link between those people and the military complex. Because my view is that what is behind is U.S., the dominant segments of U.S. capital in general, that it includes as well, and that was beautifully summarized, McDonald's or Coca-Cola, as well as the others. If you look at the rate of return of U.S. investments abroad, which is around 8%, it's very high compared to, for instance, the average rate of return of foreign investments in the U.S., which is 4%, which means that they have a collective interest in running the American policy. That is that capitalism, really existing capitalism, is not neither markets only, full stop, as the conventional economists stricken by the liberal virus would think, nor guns alone. It is markets and guns, and they go together. And focusing on guns would perhaps create some illusion that provided that another president comes, a Democrat, the policy will be changed. No, that policy will be continued, this is my question, precisely because who is behind is not exclusively, or even is not exclusively, the military-industrial complex, but the whole set of dominant segments of U.S. capital, civil and not civil.
Another member of the Commission? Yes, Guido.
Yes. Ever since Ike Eisenhower coined the phrase military-industrial complex, there have been those think tanks, intellectuals, who are serving on the boards of different, you know, military and industrial companies. That's not new. What's new to me, and I ask you the question because I was reminded of it by Mr. Professor Bricmont, the intensity of the motivation of this small think tank, PNAC, and also the effect it results. And my question is, since it is one of the many, how come it's so efficient, it's so powerful, and is there indeed some truth to what's been said by the defense about the moral indignation, the whole Holocaust, you know, and everything else that's going on, that gives them such a leverage? Because I'm very surprised, having read the PNAC statement years ago, that they have such an undue influence. Thank you.